You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
Great news. More than 3 months after the Ever Given, you remember her, the ship that got stuck in the Suez Canal, the 1,300-foot container. Yes, that ship, it's been released from boat jail. Yay! So it was stuck for 6 days back in March, racked up almost $1 billion in delays and rescue costs. So as soon as they got the ship refloated, Egyptian officials seized it and said, hey, somebody owes this place some money. So the Suez Canal Authority said, you know what? You owe us the money. And the ship's owners, and then their lawyers, obviously, argued that, oh, no. You should not have even left the ship into the canal to begin with, because you knew there was a sandstorm coming, and you shouldn't have let us in. Well, not so fast. Ever Given's owner and insurers have now paid the Suez Canal Authority. There was no amount given in the actual release, but there's reports from Egyptian media that it was $550 million. So maybe they got $550 million, a little pat on the back saying we're sorry, and now it's free. And it can go on its merry little way up to the Netherlands and deliver the goods that nobody wants anymore. I guess they want them. But anyway, it's free. Yay! It's good news. Right? Right. That's what I thought. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. What are we in Haiti? Oh, stop it. It's not funny. I know. So the Haitian president,
Jovenel Moïse.
Yes, that Jovenel Moïse. That's the president, former president of Haiti. He was assassinated. His wife was wounded and is in critical condition and moved to the United States. She's in Miami. Funny how that healthcare system here in the U.S. is so bad that people from all over the world come here to save themselves. Anyway, she was, it's a horrible situation. So they not real sure exactly what happened. Authorities know that they've killed 4 suspects. They've arrested 2 others. They believed to be well-trained killers who allegedly impersonated DEA agents to enter the home. Now the interim prime minister, Claude Joseph, has taken over the government, and he declared a state of siege, which allows, things like putting the military and the police in charge of security, closing borders, banning gatherings, and calling for justice and peace. Oh, okay, yeah, no problem. Yeah, I know. So, really, really strange things happening in Haiti. Look, Haiti is a kind of a weird place anyway. It's still suffering from natural disasters, and according to, you know, all these natural disasters, that's what devastated the economy. Certainly wasn't anybody, certainly wasn't the corruption with the government officials that devastated the economy, but it certainly plunged the country into a humanitarian crisis, no question. And now the president's assassination, bringing all this political unrest, does not make Haiti a nice destination to go to. Now, I know Jovenel Moïse took office in 2017. He's been ruling by decree for over a year and refused to hold elections, which, you know, they're saying, well, now you're a dictator. Oh, no. No, it's just things are tough and we can't have an election right now.
Okay.
Haitians have been protesting in the streets over corruption and his attempt to hold on to power and not having an election, and they accused him of mishandling the economy. Okay. All right. I mean, they had the 2010 earthquake, which, I mean, there were billions of dollars sent to that country then. They still haven't recovered from that, which is really, I know, strange. I mean, I realize it was such a horrible thing, but we sent billions of dollars down there and help, and yet they're still have 60% right now of Haiti's 11 million citizens live below the poverty line. Wow. It is not a good time in Haiti. And I know that everybody is, you know, saying that we're going to denounce this, this is awful, and we're condemning it, and something has got to be done. Okay. How about let them take care of themselves? Don't start talking about, well, you know, those troops coming home from Afghanistan, what do they got to do? Let's just send them down to Haiti and get that country back together again. No, I don't want to do that. How about we just let the troops come home? How about we do that? Okay? And this is exactly why, if you, way back, during this earthquake and after the earthquake, and then there was, there were some storms that went through there and didn't help any. But that's why I said that Port-au-Prince should be the home of either an NFL franchise or it should become the new Vegas. And that's what we tried, you know, that's what we attempted to do to Cuba. At one point, we should do it to Haiti and just turn it into a destination. Then now you're talking about work, you're talking about economic recovery, you're talking about income, you're talking about millions of dollars every year pouring into the country, and it would create this great destination for people around the world to come to Haiti. Now what do you got? You got, hey, there's where the president was assassinated, right there. Wow, look at that. Okay, you still... And I don't know if you can pick up any of the shells or not in the front yard. They had one lady who, you know, I guess wanted to remain anonymous. I don't know why you'd want to do that in Haiti. She said it sounded like an earthquake. Did it? Okay. Well, if you say so. If you think that all those bullets were going off for an earthquake, okay. All right. You got it. But listen, we need every single one in the country to move forward. Okay, thank you, new interim prime minister. Thank you. I police and military are in control, and we got it under control. So just leave us alone, and I'll take care of it because I'm in charge now. Oh, all right. No problem. It's a state of siege, and I'm taking control. So good times in Haiti. Okay, this is a place where we're at now, and it's really just kind of irks me a little, so we're going to talk about it a little bit. The story is, in fact, I'll just read you the headline, and it's from theblaze.com. Uncle of teenager who filmed the death of George Floyd is killed during police chase of unrelated robbery suspect. Okay, so I'm sorry that this person died. I'm sorry that it was during a police chase of an unrelated robbery. Yeah, Okay, because it had nothing to do with George Floyd. But because it's a brush with greatness, we're going to throw George Floyd in there. So it's a racist thing. The uncle of the teenager who filmed the death of George Floyd has now been killed by police after he was involved in a car accident during the car chase of an unrelated suspect. So, what are we supposed to make of that? I just don't know what we're supposed to make of that. Minneapolis police killed my uncle. Another black man lost his life in the hands of the police. Now, he was killed in an automobile accident. One of the cars happened to be a Minneapolis Police Department squad car who was chasing a robbery suspect. And then, you know, he got into this accident. The officer in the accident suffered serious but non-lethal injuries, while Fraser died of his injuries. The canine dog was also in the squad car but suffered no injuries. The robbery suspect fled the scene and escaped capture. Fraser said he was driving. They said he was driving his girlfriend's, driving to his girlfriend's home when he was killed, and he was only one block away when he was struck. Okay, well, I'm very sorry about that, but that really isn't the police's fault. It was an accident. And I realized that he's another human being on the planet, and especially a special human being because he is a black man in Minneapolis. I get it. But he's the uncle of the teenager who filmed the death of George Floyd. So that makes it worse? I don't know. Just a really weird place. I guess we have to make these connections. But I'm very sorry that he died, and I don't want anybody to die ever. I don't want anybody to die. I want billions of people wandering this planet not dead. But it was an accident, and it's not the police fault. I guess it's their fault because they were chasing another criminal. So if they weren't chasing this criminal, then it wouldn't have happened. So we have to get rid of the police being able to chase suspects. And then something like this will never happen. So that way we can't have ever anyone die who is an uncle to someone who filmed someone else having something bad happen to them. All right. Hey, let's talk. I'm sorry. I just really was just bugging me a little bit with that story. I can't take some of these stories. So let's talk a little Tampa Bay Lightning, who are the Stanley Cup champions again. For the second year in a row, congratulations. Go Bolts. It was nice having that victory and seeing that victory. I thought for sure I was looking for my Lightning jersey. I don't know what happened to my Lightning jersey. Really kind of upsetting to me. I found my Tampa Bay Lightning Stanley Cup coins that I had given to me from the team back in 2004 and they're winning their first Stanley Cup. But I can't find my jersey and I don't like it. I don't know what happened to it, but I don't like it. So congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning for that. We have a lot going on in sports. You got Wimbledon going on, if you care. We have the NBA Finals going on, if you care. There's another story. I'm with the NBA. Holy cow. Rachel Nichols from ESPN is removed from the NBA sidelines for coverage. Okay, after comments from her leaked. I'm trying to figure out what was wrong with her comments. Okay, so there's audio that was released of her talking about another reporter getting a gig on working for the NBA, right? So she even apologized on her other show, The Jump, saying, I also don't want to let this moment pass without saying how deeply, deeply sorry I am for disappointing those I hurt, particularly Maria Taylor. Oh, okay. So Nichols gets the boot from the NBA sidelines during the finals. Now, do I care if Rachel Nichols is reporting the NBA finals from the sidelines? No, I don't. But this audio that was released has her talking. Nichols, who is white, by the way. Did I mention that? Yeah, okay. She criticized ESPN last year for choosing Maria Taylor, who is black, to report on the sidelines of the NBA Finals over her. So, no matter what, now, you can't say anything disparaging about an African-American or black person you work with because it's automatically racist. Well, I'd like to know what's racist. This is her comment. If you need to give her more things to do because you're feeling pressure about your crappy longtime record on diversity, which, by the way, I myself know personally, like, go for it. Just find it somewhere else. So she doesn't even say anything bad about Maria. She's just saying, hey, don't bring someone else, another female, onto the sidelines. That's my gig. You're taking my gig away, okay? And if you're doing it because of your longtime record on diversity, find another place to make up for it, just not on my gig. So, holy cow. And I see where actually the NBA commissioner who, you know, like I give a crap about him, Adam Silver, but he actually apparently defended Rachel Nichols as well because he knows that's just dumb. It's just dumb. Oh, racial hatred is dumb, huh, Jeff? It had nothing. I mean, it was just, she wasn't even saying anything bad about the job that this Maria was doing. It's just silly. Just completely silly. And we have the Olympics coming up. You know, we talked about Sha Carey Richardson getting the boot for smoking pot, and she got the boot now completely. She's going to miss the Olympics. They didn't give her the gig because the race that she won, she got disqualified from, which then dropped her down in points, and the team was like, no, you can't come to Tokyo. It doesn't matter. She's okay with it. She's not blaming any racism stuff. It was her decision. She knew it was wrong. She's living with it, okay? The Olympics probably aren't even going to happen now. I told you. I was so surprised that they were going to let it happen. And I bet you NBC and the Olympic Committee are sweating bullets right now because Japan's prime minister announced a state of emergency that's going to result in a ban of fans at the Olympics as they claim the virus infections are spreading across Tokyo. So the International Olympic Committee, the president, and has arrived in Tokyo, and we'll see. And I bet you, I mean, I would not be surprised if NBC is there as part of the meeting deal. They've got to be. They've got billions invested in this competition. So, I mean, it's close to being shut down again because of COVID. I would not be surprised, man, if they just pull the plug altogether. Because Japan doesn't want to have it. And the people are starting to say, hey, we're going to go into this lockdown. You're going to let all these people into the country and see this and have all these athletes wandering around and there's a pandemic. So it's close, man. It is close. I think we're like 20 days away. So we'll see after they get done with their meetings today and NBC and the Olympic Committee president go down and get down on their knees in front of Japan's prime minister and say, please, 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 let the Olympics happen. Okay, no people can come. Sure, we'll just kick out all the people. Sure, we'll just do it. It's okay. It's okay. NBC's going to broadcast everything. We'll broadcast everything. We'll keep everything. We'll all wear masks. Everything will be fine. We'll be socially distanced. Please, 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 please. We've got 7,000 hours of Olympics already planned on all of our platforms. We've got people that are looking at all of this stuff. So just going to let it happen. So good luck. Good luck, because I'm telling you right now, this is a Chewing the Fat prediction, and I'm willing to be wrong on this prediction, but you heard, I was very surprised that they were letting it go on last month. I was continuing on. That's where I did the whole condom story and the sex stories in the Olympics and everything. I was really surprised that it was going on. And now we're coming down to the wire, and Japan's going to pull the plug. They should have pulled it earlier. But I'm telling you, they're going to pull the plug. Another big sports thing going on is the spelling bee. I know. Don't look at me like that. Do not even look at me like that, like you didn't know. You didn't know that the spelling bee, the Scripps National Spelling Bee, was going to happen tonight. If you're listening to this show live, the 8th of July, 2021, the Scripps National Spelling Bee returns. Yeah, I know. I know. It's going to be huge. It's been going on now since June for a little, almost a month. And they've been doing these virtual spelling rounds for competition. I've been catching them all. You can't tear me away from the streaming spelling bees. You can't. I've been all over it. I've been all over the Scripps spelling bee. Jim. Anyway, so the finalists, Avani Jassy, 13, from Illinois. Zali Avantgardi, 14, from Louisiana. Vinvisha Vedaru, 11, from TCU, from Fort Worth. Devrul Barita, 12, from Dallas, Texas. We have Roy Sigelman, 12, from the Bahamas. We have Bahavana Madini, from New York. We have Srithan Garuda, from Charlotte, North Carolina. We have Asrida Kandre, from Leesburg, Virginia. I think that's it, right? I think we're at the end of... I think that's it. Viola Sibyl from Waco, Texas. Ashin Kamini from Austin, Texas. And Chaitra Thamala from San Francisco, California. So I think that's it, right? We have... You know, those are the finalists for the spelling bee, the Scripps National. I say this confused because I'm just trying to fool you. Because I, of course, have watched this from the very beginning, and I know that these kids are the finalists. They're fantastic. Oh man, I love the Scripps Tip Spelling Bee. I do, man. It's gonna be a battle royale tonight. So here you go. So 10 to 12 spellers will join in-person finals tonight at the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex at the Walt Disney World Resort. So that's great. And I'll be sure to let you know who the champion is and how it went and who came out of the spelling bee octagon on top. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, it's so good. Man, I don't know that I ever told you that before. Anyway, one more quick sports story just as part of the Wimbledon, another big event going on that I quickly mentioned a couple of minutes ago. Boris Becker, huge tennis star, is part of the announcing team of Wimbledon, and his broadcasting partner, John Inverdale, said during one of the matches that the Wimbledon player on the court, his wife, if you're a tennis player, always good to have a partner called Annette. Get it? But Becker responded, "They do have the most beautiful women in Hungary. I wouldn't know that, but she's certainly very pretty." and the feminists are out of the woodwork. How dare you? How dare you think that some woman is beautiful on national television during a national event? How dare you? The charity Women in Sport has worked for decades to change sporting culture, including the end of objectification of women. How about he's just being nice to the guy's wife? How about that? On top of which, Boris should be quoting, he should have said, they say they have the most beautiful women in Hungary, like Jeff Fisher from Chewing the Fat, who's always said that Eastern Bloc women are the most beautiful. But hey, beat up on Boris Becker, don't beat up on me. I mean, it's incredible. We are in such a strange place. You can't even compliment someone on how good they look. Just amazing. So yesterday we talked about Britney Spears and her manager quitting. Now we know that her attorney is resigning from her and the conservatorship. So things are starting to fall apart around Britney, and that may be actually a good thing. I haven't delved too much deeper into the Britney story after I realized that she hasn't actually applied to get rid of the conservatorship. And, you know, I just know her dad's a crazy guy and has been treating her like crap. All the stories around it say that and report that. So I hope that Britney can at least get some help for that. Maybe stay in the conservatorship, but find somebody who is not her dad. And really, that's what she was asking for, and the judge wouldn't do it. So I don't know. That's a tough spot. And I know, I feel bad for Britney because, you know, she was, struggling on the beaches of Hawaii. I know, life is tough. So, look, everybody has a tough time. And we all have our, you know, our dark corners we go to. And I know Britney does too. And I've said all along, if she wants to burn her money out of her butt, I don't care. I hope she puts it on Instagram so I can watch. But I don't care. I mean, it's her money. And to have her, to have it held up like that under this, the guise of conservatorship is really kind of annoying. And it speaks volumes about America, that's for sure. I see, talking about other stars, Kate Beckinsale. I saw her new trailer for the new movie coming out on Netflix. What is it, Jolt? Coming out at the end of this month. A little action movie from Kate Beckinsale. Some big stars in it, too. So, we'll see. With the trailer, it looks like a lot of them are just kind of going through the motions. Stanley Tucci is in it. Susan Sarandon is in it. David Bradley, when you see him, you'll remember him from Game of Thrones. He was, I believe, the king, the Iron King. Ironborn King. But we'll see. It looks like just a saw and wood action movie, and we'll let Kate be the badass. And so, am I going to watch it? You bet. You bet. And I see where we got the premiere the update on the premiere of Yellowstone. They released a season 4 trailer for season 4 of Yellowstone. So it looks like that's going to be coming out soon. I don't think there was an exact date set on that. It's usually out and playing by now. So Yellowstone fans are all like, hey, where you at? What's going on? You left us hanging at the end. Bunch of people got shot up. People got blew up. Who's going to live? And so we're getting, that gives us a little hint. Some interviews have given us hints on who is going to survive and who isn't. But season 4 of Yellowstone is just around the corner. And there's a show that I feel like I don't want to watch week to week because I love binging it. I would rather they just release it. You know, I'm so spoiled. I just want to be able to watch them. And this whole thing of releasing shows once a week, stop it. HBO, at least HBO Max has started doing, at least they did with Hacks, they released two a week, which I, you know, it's like throwing you a little bone. Here you go. Here's just something. I know we're not going to do it all. You're not going to be able to binge it all, but we'll give you a couple of shows every time we release them. So, you know, come on. Come on, we can stop. Can we stop? We need to make it a law. Can we stop making shows where they're just released once a week? I'm sorry. No, you have to drop them a season at a time. And we're going to say that a season is at least 6 to 10 episodes. If it's more than 10, fine. If it's less than 6, forget it. You know, it doesn't even count as a season. You better add a couple more shows on. So between 6 and at least 10 episodes are a season, and they get released all at once. It's just a chewing the fat rule in law, and that has to happen. That has to happen. It has to happen, you know, like right now. Oh, another thing that's going on in the streaming world. I read a big article on Netflix and how they may have to start having commercials and dropping down the pay subscribership. So it's cheaper, but you're going to get commercials like, you know, like Hulu does and Paramount and NBC. And they all have their tiers and their different levels of subscribership. Netflix has always said they would never do it, but they're trying to find new ways to generate some income because their subscriber growth is not what they were hoping, or at least not what they projected, and we want to get more, and especially here in the United States, you know, they're with this, and there's streaming wars going on, so everybody's, you know, everybody's trying to find their ground. And they're talking about maybe embracing live sports or some kind of shows, other live shows to, you know, have that alternative strategy. That's what Amazon was hoping for with the, you know, NFL Thursday Night Football. I would say that perhaps if Netflix gets involved in anything, maybe they do work a deal. Okay, so here's the chewing the fat plan for Netflix. Okay, just off the top of my head. Now, I haven't thought this through. But, you know, if they're, let's say, so let Amazon have the NFL. Pff, Thursday night, big deal. Netflix takes college football. Now, they all have their own league rights. You know, SEC, Big 10, or Big 12, whatever they're calling themselves now, Pac-10, Pac-12, you know, whatever they're calling themselves, it doesn't matter. But you take each one of those and you do a separate deal with each one with Netflix, and Netflix just airs them all. You just air them all. Yeah, I log into my, I pay Netflix for rights to my SEC broadcast. You could do that, Jeff, with each league. I know, but, you know, maybe I do at all, right? So instead of separately, I can go to Netflix college football and I can watch whatever the hell game I want. I can watch whatever game I want when I want to watch it. So I can go back and forth all weekend long on Netflix, going from this game up in Maryland to this game over here in Colorado. Huh? Yes, Netflix, make that happen. Make that happen. Any game that's broadcast, I can go to my Netflix college football subscribership page, and I can watch whatever game I want. I can just log in, and I can watch whatever game I want. I go to the SEC, I can watch the SEC games. I go to the Big 12, the Pac-12. I can go to every little dingleberry NCAA college league I want. If there's a camera there, Netflix can hook into it, and that's what I can watch. That's what I want to have happen. I tell you, Netflix, you're welcome. It is about time that Disney got rid of this horrific announcement that they've done for far too long. They're announcing of the Magic Kingdom introduction is finally going to be gone. And it is gone because originally they said, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. The horror! I couldn't take it. The last time I was there, I couldn't take it. Now, according to this tweet, Showcase of Wishes, they have a back-to-back of the announcement in 2020 and what it sounds like now in 2021. And I think you'll agree with me that it sounds so much better. All right, 2020.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dreamers of all ages. In just a few minutes, the Magic Kingdom invites you to enjoy our nighttime spectacular, Happily Ever After.
Okay. All right, I think we can agree how horrible that was. Now, let's go to 2021.
Good evening, dreamers of all ages. In just a few minutes, the Magic Kingdom invites you to enjoy our nighttime spectacular, Happily Ever After.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I'm talking about. So much better. You cannot say ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls. Not in today's world. No, sir. Earlier in the show, we talked about how you cannot say someone's wife is beautiful. Well, if she's a female, you can't say that she's beautiful. And we don't want announcements at Disney World to say, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Wow. 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 Now you can say, all right, so what? What's the big deal? All it is just another step taken to ensure the experiences at parks are inclusive to all. Duh. Why the hate? Why the hate? What does it matter if it simply states, good evening, dreamers of all ages, rather than ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? Because even if you're trans or demisexual or pansexual, you still are a lady or a gentleman or a boy or a girl, right? I mean, I guess you can still be they, them, she, he, it, whatever as the pronoun, but ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls covers everyone. But No, we would rather say dreamers of all ages. Okay, all right. I will say that, you know, does it really bother me? I don't know. It's just some more changes that we're just supposed to be okay with. But Walt Disney, the days of Walt Disney and Disneyland, long gone. And I will say, I got to see if some of my relatives, you know, on my wife's side, won some lottery money. So the five winners who claimed the $516 million Mega Millions jackpot sold at a 7-Eleven in Bucks County in Pennsylvania. That's family land up there. I mean, that's where we lived when I lived in Pennsylvania. And there's plenty. I mean, I've shopped at that 7-Eleven in Levittown, Pennsylvania. So the winning ticket was a quick pick, and the winners have opted to claim the jackpot prize as a cash lump sum payment. Good move. They created a peace of mind trust, a 5-member group. They're going to receive the prize of $348,600,000. The after-tax prize amount is $254 million. Wow, that's amazing. So they won $516 million, you know, technically in the lotto. They take the cash payout, you get $348,600,000. After taxes, you only end up with $254,233,980. Only $254,233,900. No, Oh my gosh, I can't even say it anymore. It's such a low price. $254,233,980. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Set up in a trust. That's $50 million apiece, right? It's not bad. So this is the third and largest Mega Millions jackpot won in Pennsylvania since 2010. And the winning ticket was sold at the 7-Eleven on Trenton Road in Levittown. I mean, that is old stomping grounds of where I lived and where we lived when we lived in Pennsylvania. So, man, if that's, you know, a family member, hello, how you doing? Love you too.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.
All right, we got some headlines that we got to break through here real quick. Bolt Bus shutting down operations. So I don't know if you ever rode on the Bolt Bus if you're in the Northeast. I mean, they were around in different areas around the country, but where they really are used is in the Northeast. But apparently the ridership has been low, especially during the pandemic. And you had the Wi-Fi of the dollar seats, you know, pretty through. They still charged, you know, if you didn't win the dollar seats, you still had to pay extra money more than that. But Greyhound bought it out a while ago, and they suspended their service during the pandemic, and then, bye-bye, have a nice day, we're not coming back. So Greyhound operates the largest inner-city bus fleet in North America. They teamed up with Peter Pan Bus Lines in 2008 to start Bolt Bus. Companies wanted to offer an affordable ride to people put off by the grubbier alternatives on the market. And at least one seat on every Bolt Bus ride sold for a dollar, plus a booking fee. And, you know, they had Wi-Fi and individual power outlets and leg room. And the company shuttled riders among cities in the Northeast and the Pacific Northwest. And Greyhound took sole ownership of Bolt Bus in 2017. And now Greyhound announced that it's shutting its remaining Canadian operations down. So, you know, who knows? There's other inner-city bus operators still running. Flixbus, Peter Pan, Megabus. I mean, I never was a big... I've taken buses numerous times in my life, and I just want to say that I am still not a fan. But I appreciate the transportation provided by these bus companies, but I try to avoid them as much as I can. I've taken a Trailways before they combined, when they were separate 100 years ago. I took a Trailways from Michigan to Florida. Boy, that was a fun ride. That's a whole story in and of itself. I've taken, I feel like I've taken the Bolt Bus before when I was living in the Northeast. Maybe I just wanted to. I used to walk. There was one area where because I took the bus. I took the regular buses because I would take the one bus from Weehawken, New Jersey into Manhattan because I lived right by the last stop of the regular bus line, whatever it's called, in New Jersey, and then it takes you through the tunnel and into the city, and you do the bus station in Manhattan, and you're good to go. But it's just, that's not Bolt Bus or Greyhound, but I used to take that. I took that for a while, and what a pain that kind of was. It was worth, you know, again, I appreciate the transportation. It doesn't mean that I like necessarily the ride. Anyway, Bolt Bus gone. Have a nice day. Nintendo gave everyone a sneak peek of its new Switch model, but all the rumored upgrades didn't come through, so it's just, hey, here's a new Switch, and hope you like, you know, it being new, but there's nothing new about it. Melinda Gates, this story is incredible. Okay, so we talked about Bill and Melinda Gates at some length when the divorce was still, you know, in the beginning stages. And, you know, how they were going to still try to work together at the foundation. And then we found out some other stuff about Bill, and they weren't, you know, he's been really down and quiet, which is a good move on his part. So now we're getting reports that Melinda will resign from the foundation that she and ex-Bill founded if they find they can't work together successfully over the next 2 years. Okay, so they claim at the beginning, yeah, we'll still work together. We're fine. Our offices are going to be, you know, down the hall. We'll never see each other. It'll be fine. But the foundation CEO, Mark Sussman, is saying, no, Melinda said that she'll resign if she can't work with Bill. Because that's Bill's baby. Or at least we thought it was Bill's baby. Maybe it's Melinda's baby. And Bill is just saying, no, I don't want to give it up. Maybe that's the deal. But she claims now, look, I'll resign from the foundation if we can't work together. So I would say that's going to happen. That's going to happen sooner than the 2 years. That's a chew in the fat guarantee right there. I see where Google was hit by an antitrust lawsuit from dozens of states targeting its Google Play Store. So that'll be fun. I mean, we have that going on, and we have former President Trump suing the social media companies. So that's going to be fun. It's going to be a big deal. I mean, Trump is suing the big tech CEOs, right? So he's suing a class action lawsuit against Zuckerberg, Jack Dorsey, and Sundar Pichai from Facebook, Twitter, and Google. We'll see where it goes. I don't know. His battle over free speech and censorship, and he's banned from, you know, Twitter and Facebook, and it's a good argument, and he's banned. Does he need to be back on Facebook? No. I mean, he really should just beat them up and say, I don't need to be back there, but we'll see. I don't know. I know that he had, he's got the American First Policy Institute there, and which is a new legal entity called the Constitutional Litigation Partnership. He's got the AFPI's president and CEO, Brooke Rollins, and the board chair, Linda McMahon, were both there during his announcement. So he's going to sue him. And, of course, Facebook and Twitter declined to comment. So we'll see what happens with that. It'll be interesting to see if anything actually does come of that. I mean, what's the best outcome of that? Is that he gets back on Facebook, gets back on Twitter, and they say, well, you were just following our rules. You broke them. We canceled you, and now we're putting you back up. So that's it. That's the only thing we say is our fault. And Google says, well, if you are back and you have a new platform, we won't block the platform. So that gets him, a new platform possibly through Google. Doesn't do anything with Apple, though. So he's leaving Apple alone, which is kind of strange because they usually pick a fight with Apple, too. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe he's hoping that if he gets Google, then Apple will fall into place. But I don't know about that either. Oh, and one last thing before I go away. I've had this on the pile for a couple of days now, and I want to get to it so that you know that it's out there. Matt Walsh. I follow him on Twitter, and you can follow me on Twitter at JeffyJFR, but Matt Walsh is there. And he's with the Daily Wire, and he does his podcast, and he used to work for us here at the Blaze, and I like Matt. He's a good guy. But he had an idea the other day on Twitter, and now it's a big story, and it's making the rounds, and I thought, what a great idea, and why it hasn't happened, I don't know. And that's putting cameras in school classrooms for the parents to monitor the classrooms. Now, he's saying, to monitor teachers. Well, yeah, that's what we need to do. But it's also for the safety of the children, the security of the school. If my kids go to a certain school, why is it I can't log in at any particular time and see the classroom that they're in? I have their schedule. I know where they're going to be. I log into the school's website, and then I'm able to click on whatever room, and I get to see my child and the teacher and the other students in the class and what's going on and what's being taught. I love that idea. And why that hasn't happened, I don't know. Every school should have cameras in the hallways, and they should be monitored by the parents at any time. As long as you're there, you're able to do it. And I'm telling you, that's a good idea, which is probably why it never will. But it's a good idea. And I'm telling you, Matt Walsh is the guy that I saw originally say it. Maybe there was somebody else out there talking about it. I don't know why it hasn't been done yet, but it needs to happen. So if you have any particular pull in your schools around your local area, that's a good thing to do, man. Be on the forefront of that and make everyone accountable. Maybe it's just me.